Morning. Welcome to First Christian Church. Just out of curiosity, anyone else besides me feeling a little off this morning? It's like I didn't get enough sleep or something. I don't know. Please take this opportunity to fill out the friendship sheets and silence any cell phones and or mobile devices while we listen to the prelude and prepare for worship. Thank you. See, we do have a few announcements this morning. Lenten services are running every Wednesday until Easter. And coffee hosts, you can see the bulletin board to sign up for coffee or treats. Commission meetings are Monday at 7 and 6:30. Membership classes starting next Sunday. Reverend McBride will lead an informal class on people interested in joining. And also baby picture display. If you haven't sent in your baby pictures, please do so to Carol Sage. Also, Sewing to Save, the Pillowcase Dress Workshop will be next Saturday, March 16th from 10 to 3. And also further on down the line, save the dates for CRMR Evangelism Training, April 23rd to 25th at FCC in Loveland. Now, we do have one more announcement that I believe it's somebody's birthday today. It's Pastor Cynthia's.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. To you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Cynthia. Happy birthday to you.
And Bill, one more announcement. Yep. We'd like to celebrate Sydney's birthday with everybody. So Sydney and I are doing coffee hour today. So we would love for you all to come down and have a cup of coffee and enjoy some snacks.
So. Awesome. All right. Are there any other announcements? take this opportunity to stand and greet each other while we prepare the opening hymn, number 16, Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. Please join me in the call to worship. We do not live by bread alone.
We depend on God's every word, and rely on Christ's life-giving breath.
Though we presume to know all mysteries and boast of knowledge beyond that of our ancestors.
In truth, we struggle to answer the simplest of questions. We second-guess ourselves and one another at every turn.
Teach us, O God, our humble place in the universe. Please join me in prayer. Father God, Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for being an all-loving and all-knowing God and knowing what is best for each of us. Being humbled can be a hard pill to swallow. We as humans like to think we know what we're doing, but you have said and shown many ways that you are in control. We ask for help in letting you take control and guide us in our lives. Hear us now as we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Be seated. Our hymn of prayer today is number 636, Abide with Me. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5. I'd like to invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing. Carson's coming and he's bringing his little sister today, and Zoe's here, and Mackenzie. And Asher and Alex, I haven't seen you guys for a while. Oh my goodness, thank you. What a beautiful flower. Thank you. Would you do me a favor and set it on that purple table right there? And you can set the card there, too.
Do you think I could sit with you?
Well, please do. Who is this? Shall we make a space for Joan and her friend?
Oh, wow.
Mm. Hi there. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Are you a bear?
Nope. Oh, am I a bear?
Yes, you're a bear.
Oh, okay.
Hi.
Well, little bear, what is your name?
Clarissa.
Clarissa. I've never met Clarissa before. It's very nice to have new friends here for church today.
Yeah, for your birthday.
Oh, for my birthday. Well, thank you. You know what, Clarissa? Today is the very first Sunday in a special time of the year that we call Lent.
Lent? Oh, I get that all the time.
You get that all the time?
Yep, in my clothes.
Oh, in your clothes.
Yep.
Do you all know about getting lint in your clothes, kind of fuzzies? Sometimes even in your belly button. Yeah.
In what?
Your belly button.
I don't have one.
Oh, well then you don't have to worry about it. Well, lint on our clothes or in your dryer, when mom and dad wash clothes and you help clean out the dryer, sometimes all that fuzzy stuff, that is spelled L-I-N-T.
Yeah.
But the kind of lint I'm talking about is L-E-N-T.
Oh, lint. Yeah, lint. Yeah. I lent some honey to a friend.
Oh.
Didn't get it back.
Yeah, so when you loan someone something and you say, I lent someone, that's spelled L-E-A-N-T. So that's
something different. L-E-N-T.
Well, okay. Clarissa probably spells things the way bears spell.
Yep.
So the lint I'm talking about is a special season in the church that is 40 days before Easter. It's a special time to get ready to celebrate Easter.
Yeah.
It's a time when we lean into God. Do you like to lean into God? Let's all lean over this way.
Yeah, like this.
And then we'll lean over that way.
Okay.
During Lent, we lean into God. We lean into God by saying extra prayers, by taking time to think about God every day.
Wait. Why extra prayers? Don't you pray every day?
We do pray every day. But, you know, sometimes during our regular lives, we just get busy and we kind of forget. So during Lent, it's a time to remember, to really lean into God, maybe a little more than we usually do.
Oh.
So we can do that by praying a little extra,
okay,
by reading our Bible, by coming to church every Sunday.
Oh, that's hard.
I know.
I sleep now.
It was very nice of Clarissa to interrupt her hibernation to come and be with us today.
Yep, it's right.
Yeah, you're feeling pretty sleepy today, huh? You know what? I bet some other people here feel sleepy today, too.
I do.
You do? We had to change our clocks and get up an hour early.
We didn't.
You didn't change your clock?
Nope. Oh, I heard that.
Well, we're glad you're here no matter what time your clock says. Well, the next few Sundays, we'll be talking some more about Lent. And Clarissa, we'd love to have you come back and visit again.
Really?
Absolutely.
Can
anytime.
I?
What do you kids think? Should Clarissa come again?
Yeah.
I'd have to stay awake.
You'd have to stay awake. You could take a nap Sunday afternoon, though.
But it's springtime.
Well, in springtime, don't you start to wake up more?
Yep.
Hibernation's over?
Yep.
Yep?
Yep.
Well, on Easter, we all wake up. We spring up and we celebrate Jesus' resurrection. And that's kind of what Lent is about, is getting ready for Easter. Clarissa, thank you so much for coming today.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy birthday.
Aw, thank you.
Okay.
Shall we have a prayer together? Let's all hold hands. I'll hold hands with Clarissa. We'll hold hands all the way across. Dear God, we thank you for the season of Lent, when we can lean into you through prayer and reading scripture, through thinking about you every day. Bless all the bears who are hibernating. Bless all the people who are struggling to be awake. And bless us to lean into you as we get ready to celebrate Easter. In Jesus' name, all God's children and bears said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you all for coming today. You can go to Worship and Wonder or Sunday School.
Ready to go.
As our children and their new friend Clarissa make their way out of the sanctuary, I draw your attention to the prayer list on the back of the bulletin. As we share these prayer concerns and joys, I invite you to fill out a prayer card that you'll find in the pew rack in front of you, and then place that card in the tray later in the service, and we'll send it to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today. Our card share this morning is for one of our preschool teachers. Brianna's grandmother passed away this week, and we're offering prayers of sympathy for her family. We continue to pray for numerous people living with cancer and those with health concerns. Please pray for Virginia's husband, Lee Yon. Alan McKenzie is doing better. He was in chapel and the home builders class today. Debbie Mestis is back with us. We continue to pray for her as she recovers from knee surgery. Elaine Singleton is continuing to recover from shoulder surgery. And Paul Smith's wife, Melanie White, was in the hospital this week with bleeding ulcers. She is back at Poplar Living Center. We're glad that she has improved. Our community and world concerns include those who lost their lives to tornadoes in Alabama and those who are being affected by severe winter weather. Prayers of support for those in our community who are struggling with grief, with fear, with mental health issues. There have been a couple shooting incidents lately in our community. We pray for those who were affected and those who were involved. A prayer request for a granddaughter of a member, Brooklyn, will have ACL surgery tomorrow morning. Prayers for Cal Decker's Uncle Paul. He is declining in health and may soon have to give up driving. A joy to share, our Week of Compassion noisy offering totaled $212.43. That's a lot of spare change, so thank you all for pitching in. The total so far this year from our congregation for Week of Compassion is over $500. Those gifts will join those of other disciples from around the world to respond when tragedy strikes. The prayer sheet at the back of the sanctuary that you're encouraged to sign is for our prayer partners this week, a local congregation called The Table. They're a new church start affiliated with the Presbyterian Church USA. Their pastor, Libby Tedder Hugus, has visited our congregation in the past and preached for us a few years ago. They meet on Wednesday nights in downtown Casper. We pray for all new churches that are beginning to share God's word and God's love. Are there other concerns today that we want to name, people we need to lift up or situations we want to share? Madison.
I have a joy and a concern. My concern is that I've been having a lot of abdominal pain recently, and I went to the gastroenterologist, and they think it could be ulcers. So I'm having an upper GI in early April to see what's going on. But the joy is that I finally have new jobs. So I am a server now at Olive Garden, and I am up for the position of assistant manager at the rec. So, prayers
for. We give thanks to God for answered prayer. Madison has been having us pray for her as she applied for jobs. It is a joy that she has two jobs now, and so we rejoice with you. And we continue to pray for your health as you struggle with ulcers. Debbie. We are so thankful to see you back, and we continue to hold you in prayer and offer support. If you need a ride, a meal, a friend to talk to on the phone, Debbie, you know that you can call anyone in the church. Tammy. Ten years ago, I was in conversation with this congregation discerning a call to come as pastor, and it was during that time frame that the Heck family suffered a tragic loss, and it is a significant anniversary to remember 10 years after your son passed, and we will pray for all of you during this time. Was there another hand? Someone else. Joe.
I have a joy to share. Granddaughter Rebecca has been competing with the Kellogg speech and debate team. She does debate and she does oratory. And the state contest was this weekend in Riverton. The students from all over the state competed, and Rebecca won the first place award for oratory in the state. So we're very proud of that.
Congratulations to Rebecca for all of her hard work, taking first place in the state in original oratory. Congrats also to Mom Greta and to her proud grandparents. What a wonderful joy to share.
Prayers for my brother who's going through a really tough time right now.
Prayers for Phil's brother as he has a rough time. There are times when we share prayer concerns on Sunday morning that we name specifics of people's lives. We lift people up by name. But there are also times when there are people sitting right in the pews with us who need our prayers, and they're not at a point where they're ready to speak aloud what is on their hearts. But today I encourage you to pray for the person who's sitting next to you, behind you, or in front of you. God knows what is happening in their life and how they need your prayers today. Let us turn to the Lord in a time of shared silence. O God of abundance, your love is beyond measure. Yet we confess to you, Holy One, that sometimes we think it is a scarce commodity. Sometimes we are tempted to try to hold so tightly to your love that we exclude others. Lord, thank you for pouring out in abundance your grace and mercy upon us to remind us that your love stretches to all people, to all of creation, to the vast reaches of the universe, and to the depths of every human heart. Lord, on this day, we lift prayers for all those that we have named this morning. We ask your blessing of peace to be with Brianna and the Reeves family as they remember and celebrate the life of a dearly loved grandmother. We pray for those who are living with cancer and recovering from health struggles. We ask for continued healing for Debbie, Elaine, Alan, Lee, and Melanie. Lord, we ask you to be with Brooklyn as she has surgery tomorrow morning. Be with Cal Decker as he cares for his uncle Paul, and bless Paul that his strength would be as good as possible each day. Lord, we rejoice with Madison that she now has two jobs to look forward to working. And we pray for peace in her life and healing in her body as she struggles with ulcers. We pray, Lord, that she would receive good medical care. Thank you, God, for being with us in all of life, for being with us in the highs and the lows. Lord, we rejoice with Rebecca's family, at her achievement at the Wyoming State Speech and Debate Tournament. We thank you for the adventure she has had of preparing original oratory and performing among her peers and judges. Thank you for the support she receives from her family. We pray for all young people, for students who set goals in front of themselves and strive to reach those learning opportunities. Lord, in the midst of highs and lows in life, there are people whose struggles we may not even know. But this morning we take time to pray for one another. O God, for whoever in the sanctuary is hurting, and whoever is happy, for whoever is grieving and whoever is touched by grace, we pray the blessing of your presence. Lord, be with Phil's brother in his struggles in life, and surround Raylan and Tammy, their daughters, and all of their family with your comforting peace that passes all understanding. Lord, in some ways, it is hard to fathom that 10 years have passed since Chad Heck's life on this earth ended. But we know that his life with you in heaven continues. We pray for continued healing for those who have been victims of violence and tragedy, for those who have faced the death of children. O Lord, every year passes with reminders of loss. In this time of remembrance for the Hex, O God, we pray for your peace to give them strength as they cling to one another. We thank you, God, for the work of Jeanette Sally as a missionary in Nicaragua. We pray for those affected by tornadoes in Alabama and others recovering from storms. And we pray for a storm of violence that has passed through a portion of our community. We pray for those affected by recent shooting incidents and those involved. Lord, thank you for blessing the week of compassion to do your work around the year, around the world. Be with Pastor Libby and all the members of the table as they share the adventure of worshiping in different ways and sharing a faith journey. O good and gracious God, there is much that we could name before you. But even for those prayers we cannot put into words, Lord, your Spirit draws near and listens. We thank you, God, for hearing the human heart and offering your healing hope, even in the depths of our despair, in wilderness wanderings. Oh God, bless us all with your peace. In Christ's name, amen.
God wants us to depend on him, physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. Inviting us to dine with him is an example of him meeting our physical, spiritual, and emotional needs. The bread and wine satisfy our hunger and thirst, while eating with him and each other in communion satisfies our emotional state and spiritual. Let us now partake in communion.
Our hymn is number 101. We come to this table to be fed and filled physically, spiritually, emotionally. Here at the table, we remember the night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were together, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sin." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim our faith in the Lord. We receive again the living presence of Christ, and we are fed, we are filled. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
As we draw near to your table here this morning, Holy God, to break bread in remembrance of how Christ's body was given for us, save us from unworthy participation. And as we share the cup here today, emblematic of Christ's blood shed for sinners, reassure us again by your Spirit that we indeed belong here at your table and to you, not because of our goodness, but only because of your grace made known in Jesus Christ. In this season of self-examination, help us to be honest with ourselves about any of those areas in our lives where we are currently contradicting your image in us by creating or your intention for us in redemption. Convict our hearts of any sin by your Holy Spirit in us this day, but keep us from condemnation by your gracious provisions for us in Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.
God provides us, or God provides for us, in every way. From the clothes on our back, to the food we eat, even to this building. He has given us everything, even his own son. So when we give, we have a chance to glorify God. Please give what you can. We will now receive our tithes and offerings. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you for these gifts and for all that you have given us. Please use these as you see fit. Amen.
temptation of Jesus. I'll be reading from the book of Luke in the New Testament, and you'll find that on page 61. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days. When they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command the stone to become a loaf of bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." And thus ends the reading.
Thank you, Peg, for reading for us from Luke 4. And thank you, choir, for that gift of music today. And Donna, for your music as well. Would you pray with me? Holy Lord, on this first Sunday during the season of Lent, we pause to reflect on the spiritual discipline of fasting. Holy One, those times in our lives when we are hungry, when we are thirsty, when we are longing for something or someone, may you catch our attention so we know we are longing for you. Hungering for your word, thirsting for your righteousness. Bless our reflections this day. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The season of Lent stretches for 40 days from Ash Wednesday to Easter. During that time, there are also Sundays that are sort of mini Easters, mini interruptions of celebration in the midst of the somber, repentant reflection of this season. The significance of Lent lasting 40 days is tied to the story that we hear from the Gospel of Luke that Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, right after he had been baptized in the River Jordan, was taken by the Holy Spirit to a place of isolation in the wilderness. And for 40 days, he was tempted by the devil. For 40 days, he fasted. And so for 40 days, we are called to fast, to pray, to observe this season as a time of reflection on our need for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus wasn't the only one who fasted for 40 days. There are numerous passages in Scripture that speak of the spiritual discipline of fasting. In Exodus 34, beginning at verse 27, we hear this story. The Lord said to Moses, "Write these words. In accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel." He was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Moses, in the wilderness, went to the top of Mount Sinai. And when the Israelites at the base of the mountain looked up, they saw a cloud surrounding the top of the mountain. Moses was in the very midst of the presence of God. He was so close to God, he came face to face with the power that created the universe. There on the top of the mountain, Moses received the Ten Commandments carved on tablets that he carried down to the people below. For 40 days and 40 nights, we're told that Moses fasted in the presence of the Lord. He fed only on the living presence of God. And he was so transformed by that experience that when he returned to Aaron and the people of Israel, his face was shining. It was as if the people were seeing a reflection of the presence of God, and they could not quite handle it. If you read on, they asked Moses to cover his face with a veil so they would not have to look on that holy, shining brightness. When we practice the spiritual discipline of fasting, whether during the season of Lent or at another time, part of the intent of that practice is to draw close to the presence of God, to encounter the living, holy one, so that perhaps we too will have faces that shine with the Lord's love. Often we think of the discipline of fasting as a solitary practice, but it is not always so. The prophet Joel speaks of a call to communal fasting. In Joel chapter 2, beginning at verse 12, we hear this. "Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the aged. Gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the weeks ahead during the season of Lent, we will be reflecting together on different spiritual disciplines, on the call of God to participate in practices which can draw us into a deeper spiritual reality, a place of life where we walk more closely with our Lord and Savior Christ. On this, the first Sunday as Lent begins, it is appropriate to reflect on the spiritual discipline of fasting. In the most traditional sense, a fast means to go without food, to sacrifice in some small way the most basic of needs of life. Apart from the air that we breathe, food and water are essential for existence, for life. If you skip even just one meal, chances are you'll begin to feel it. Those hunger pangs will kick in when it's about time to eat. To fast for a longer period of time is to intentionally choose to stretch out that feeling of hunger, that awareness of physical need, as a way of speaking to yourself of your spiritual need. The tradition of fasting is observed in different ways, in different faith traditions. Among those who grew up Catholic in the 1950s, they may recall the practice of fasting before receiving the host, the Eucharist, communion. My first semester in seminary, I worked as an associate pastor alongside a senior minister who practiced the same discipline. Ken shared with me that on Sunday mornings, he fasted from breakfast so that the very first thing he would taste on Sunday was the bread and the juice of communion. It was his way of focusing all of his energy and his presence on the presence of the Lord in his life. Ken and his wife had two little girls, and normally breakfast at their house every day of the week was shared together with great joy and laughter and exuberance, as well as food. On Sundays, Ken would lock himself into his study and reflect on his sermon, make final preparations for worship, and then go to church early. And then during worship, that very first morsel of nutrition that would enter his body was the loaf and the cup. It struck me as such a significant discipline that I have myself, through the years, practiced it at various times. Though I must confess that sometimes, on Sunday mornings, I'm just busy and skip breakfast. I don't think that really counts as a fast, does it? If you've been reading our Lenten devotional entitled Leaning In and Letting Go, then you may have already heard the reflection of that author who says Jesus is more interested in our motivation than our activation. In other words, Jesus isn't that interested in what specific act of spiritual discipline you practice, how you take on a Lenten fast, if that's what you choose to do, but Jesus is interested in why you fast, why you pray, why you study Scripture. In the text we heard from Joel this morning, the call is given to an entire community to fast together as a means of repentance. If you read the first chapter of Joel, you'll hear a story of a plague of locusts that was devastating the land. People were hungry because crops were suffering. The ancient Israelites saw that plague of locusts as being a punishment from God, and so the prophet Joel called them to a time of repentance, to return to the Lord. The word repent itself means to turn, to change direction. It means to realize you're headed away from God, and you intentionally turn back to seeking the Holy One. To repent means you've realized you've been living in sin and you want to stop. You want to turn. So Joel called the Israelites together collectively, the youngest and the oldest, even the bride and bridegroom on their wedding day, to join together in a time of repentance, a time of fasting. The call came as motivation. It was a call of repentance. What in your life do you need to turn away from? What is keeping you from walking in closer relationship with Jesus every day? Perhaps your Lenten fast doesn't need to even involve food. Perhaps your Lenten fast should be a fast from social media because it consumes so much time and distracts you. Or a fast from watching television, a fast from anger or bitterness, a fast from insisting on your own way to win an argument. To fast is to leave behind, to abstain from something that would take you further away from God, or to fast from something good that you are willing to give up so you can focus on the presence of the Lord. The very first time I ever experienced a fast, I was in junior high. Our church high school youth group participated in the 40-hour famine. It was a fundraiser project to fight hunger, but also to build awareness among young people. The program still exists, though through the years it shifted from being a 48-hour famine to a 36-hour famine, just out of concern for the health of young people who participate. When I was in junior high and participated, we started right after lunch on Friday. We went all day Friday, all day Saturday, and Sunday morning without eating. We broke our fast together with communion at the end of Sunday worship, and then we had hamburgers. And they were so good. But in that short period of time, our stomachs had actually begun to shrink. And this group of teenagers who were used to eating big, juicy burgers and lots of sides like chips and baked beans, we found ourselves not able to finish a full hamburger. There are some people that practice fasting for that specific reason. They want their stomachs to shrink, their appetite to decrease, so they can lose weight. We live in a society where often much pressure is put on people to diet. And so if you're a person who does one diet after another, after another, after another, a food fast is probably not the healthiest choice for you. Again, think about your motivation as much as your activation. During that 48-hour famine that we shared together, all the young people in the youth group were encouraged to gather pledges ahead of time from friends and teachers and family and neighbors, a small amount pledged, even 10 cents per hour that we would make the fast. And then the money that was collected was donated to fight hunger. We gathered together at the church for that whole weekend. And every time when there would normally come a meal time, we sat down together and shared a cup of juice. It became a sacred ritual just in those few days to have time together at table to be aware of how thankful we were just for something that tasted a little different than a glass of water. It was a humbling experience to learn about people around the world who often went without food. And here we were in a country of plenty doing so by choice rather than by circumstance. In Joel, the prophet calls the community together to repent and practice a communal fast. Often during the season of Lent, we think of fasting as a solitary experience, but it's not always so. In Islamic communities, when the month of Ramadan is observed, entire families and entire communities will fast together for a month from sunrise to sunset. So during the daylight hours, there's no food, there's no drinking, there's no smoking. There's total abstinence while the sun is up, so that those individuals spend the time they would normally spend eating or drinking or smoking. Instead, they spend it in prayer. And then in the evening, as soon as the sun goes down, every night the fast is broken. There's a wonderful family meal shared together. It's an interesting experience when people spend the whole day without eating that when they sit down at table, they are so thankful for what they have. One of the benefits of experiencing a Lenten fast is an increased awareness of gratitude for that thing that you have gone without. When Easter finally comes and you add it back into your life, you realize what a great gift it is. Now, if you're thinking about a Lenten fast, I encourage you to choose something that will draw you closer to God. You've probably heard the jokes about the Catholic teenager who decided to give up chocolate. All of her friends thought that was a huge sacrifice to go 40 days with no chocolate until she confessed she didn't like it anyway. It's kind of like giving up coffee. If my mom had fasted from coffee, it wouldn't have been any sacrifice. She loved the smell of it, couldn't stand the taste of it, never drank it at all. So it only counts as a fast if you really are making a sacrifice. Because that sacrifice reminds you of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. The purpose of a fast, whether it is from food, from an activity, from something that brings you joy or something that keeps you from the holy. The purpose and intent of a fast is twofold: to be a sign of repentance and sacrifice, and to draw closer to God. If you're fasting, every time you're hungry, let your hunger lead you to think about the giver of the bread of life. If you're thirsty, let your thirst lead you to ponder the gift of living water given from Jesus Christ. Whatever fast you may choose this Lenten season, if that's a spiritual discipline you take on, I pray that it is a practice that draws you closer to the holy, closer to Christ. Amen. Our hymn of dedication today is number 180, Lord, who throughout these 40 days for us did fast and pray. If there's anyone here this morning who's looking for a church home, you're welcome to join us at First Christian. If you are moved to rededicate your life to God or accept Christ as your Lord and Savior for the first time, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing. It seems a little bit ironic to me that on a Sunday when I'm preaching about fasting, I've also chosen with my husband to host coffee hour for you. But I hope you will come downstairs and celebrate your pastor's birthday with a cup of coffee, a homemade chocolate chip cookie, or another treat. It's a joy for Charles and I to be able to bake and share with you all, and I hope that you will stay for a time of visiting and fellowship. Normally on Sundays, I stand by the back door to greet folks as they leave after worship, but my husband has instructed me I need to come downstairs to the kitchen, so I encourage you to come downstairs and greet me there. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Lord, during this Lenten season, as we journey for 40 days through spiritual wildernesses in our hearts and in our lives, journey with us, Christ, that we may draw closer to you through the spiritual disciplines you call us to practice. And this week, if we choose time of fasting, may our hunger, our thirst, our longing draw us closer to you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.